This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه وموالاه. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Everybody, welcome to Juz a Day. Today we are studying the 12th juz of the Quran. This juz begins with Surah Hud, ayah number 6, and concludes with Surah Yusuf, ayah 52. So that would be 11, Surah 11, ayah 6, and it goes up to Surah 12, ayah 52. That is the extent of the juz that we have with us, walhamdulillah, and that is what we're going to study. If you remember last time, I had said to you that we will actually begin our study of the juz from the beginning of Surah Hud, inshallah. And Surah Hud, the first five ayat were in the previous juz, so it didn't make sense to pick those up yesterday. We'll pick them up today, inshallah ta'ala. And Surah Hud, before we talk about it, there's actually a very interesting hadith about Surah Hud that we find in the books of tafsir. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu once said to the Prophet sallam, ma shayyabaka, the Prophet, you have gotten a little old. What has given you gray hair? Keep in mind, the Prophet ﷺ, just to explain the context, the Prophet ﷺ was, a couple of years older than Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, but the Prophet ﷺ actually had very few gray hair. It is said that he had 20 or 30 gray hair in his beard, and the rest of his hair were black. So he looked extremely youthful, even when he was in his, 50s, and even when he was about to pass away in his early 60s. He passed away when he was 63 years old. So he looked youthful. And then when there was something that, a hair that turned gray, it would be noticeable. So this was something that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq noticed and asked him, what has caused you to get gray hair? So the Prophet ﷺ replied, Shayyabatni hudun. In another narration, he said, Shayyabatni hudun wa akhawatuha. Surah Hud has given me gray hair. Surah Hud has given me gray hair. This is the reason why the scholars say the Prophet ﷺ said that are two. Number one, of course, the Prophet ﷺ took when the Quran gives directives or the Quran issues warnings to people, the Prophet ﷺ would take these warnings very seriously and apply it to himself. He would personalize the message to himself, even though he was protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grace and had been enveloped in his mercy and his salvation was guaranteed. Yet he always took these ayat of punishment very seriously. And that's why we find in the books of hadith that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would lead prayer and he would read an ayah that would speak about Jannah or Allah's mercy, he would pause and he would say, "Oh Allah, give me this mercy or enter me into paradise." And then when he would come across an ayah that would mention the punishment of Allah, he would stop there and ask for Allah's protection from that punishment. This was his habit, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he would be reading Quran in his prayer. And this is actually mustahab according to Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Shafi'i. They both say that this is something that's recommended for a person to do in their prayer. Prophet ﷺ's way of interacting with the Quran. When he would read the story of the people, the people mentioned in Surah Hud, he would take it very, very personally, and that perhaps is what gave him gray hair. The other reason that's mentioned that gave him gray hair perhaps is because in this story, in this surah, you have the story of Nuh alayhi salam, story of Hud, story of Salih, story of Ibrahim, story of Lut, story of Shu'aib, and a brief mention of the story of Musa. Seven prophets are mentioned here, right? And each of these prophets, the people who these prophets were sent to, their destruction is mentioned after the message of these prophets was rejected. When the people rejected the message of the prophets, the punishment of Allah was unleashed. The prophets some feared that that would happen to the people of Makkah, and he was afraid for that. Even though they were trying to persecute him, they were trying to hurt him, and they were actively hurting his companions. This is in Mecca, by the way. The surah was revealed in Mecca. All of that, despite all that, the Prophet ﷺ still wanted good for them and still wanted them to believe. And the thought that they would be destroyed like Nuh's people or Hud's people or Fir'aun, etc., was bearing heavy on him. And that perhaps caused his hair to turn gray. So that's what he said about the surah, Shayyabat Nihudun wa Akhawatuha, or Shayyabat Nihud, Surah Hud has given me gray hair. This for us is a lesson. We should take the warnings of the Quran seriously. We should take these things not as just a critique of others. We should take this as a mirror that we are looking into it at ourselves and examining ourselves and holding ourselves accountable. What of these characteristics do I have and what should I not have? Okay. The surah begins, the theme of the surah that we will see throughout is do not give up. Don't give up hope in Allah's mercy. Don't give up hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promise. His promise is the truth, and he will deliver on his promise. Okay, this is the theme that you find in this surah. It begins with Alif Lam Ra. Kitabun uhkimat ayatuhu thumma fussilat min ladun hakimin khabir. Alif Lam Ra. This is a book with verses which are fundamental in nature and then expounded in detail by the one who is all wise and all aware. Allah ta'budu illallah. It teaches you to worship none but God. I am sent to you from him to warn you and to give you good tidings. This is the Prophet ﷺ being told to say this, or he's speaking in first person here. This is La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Don't worship anyone but Allah. La ilaha illallah. And accept the Prophet as a messenger, and I have sent to you as a warner. Okay. Wa anistaghfiru rabbakum. Once your foundation of is set by the shahada, by the testimony of faith, what is your life? What is the way we approach our life? There's many rulings in Islam. Things can get complicated. This is the simplified version. Wa anistaghfiru rabbakum. Seek forgiveness from your Lord. Thumma tubu ilayhi. Then turn towards him. Two things. Okay. Istaghfiru. Ask forgiveness for your Lord. Oh Allah, astaghfirullah. Allah, forgive me. Allah, have mercy on me. Thumma tubu ilayhi. When you make a mistake, return to him in repentance. Again, I told you yesterday, turning to Allah is an image, right? This is an image. It's like, a person is sinning and whatnot. Then they turn to Allah. They have turned away from sin. That's the image Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to keep in mind whenever this kind of ayah comes. Turn to Allah. Turn away from his disobedience. And if you do that, these two things, if you generous provision for you for an appointed term, and will bestow his grace on all who merit it. Okay, this is a conditional sentence. If, and the translation doesn't capture it, unfortunately, but if you are to seek forgiveness of your Lord and turn to him in repentance, you apologize for your mistakes, you keep making amends, you keep getting better, you never give up hope, even if you sin 100 times, 1,000 times, you never give up hope in Allah's mercy, you never think you're a loser and you're a sinner and you're a bad person, you always come back to Allah. If those two things you can do, then Allah will give you a good life. Then he will give you a good life, an enjoyment of this time in this world. You will live happily and joyfully. And number two, he will give you grace in the next life. Simplified. Never lose hope in Allah's mercy. Never think you're beyond help. Never think that your sins are too much. Never think that you're just a sinner and what's the point of trying to be better. No, never. That is what shaitan wants. That's not what Allah wants. وَإِنْ تَوَلَّوْا فَإِنِّي أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ كَبِيرٍ. But if you turn away, then I fear for you the torment of a dreadful day. This is what will happen if a person turns away thinking that they're a terrible person. Then that is a person who is slipping away. And if a person slips away fully, then unfortunately, the torment of a dreadful day awaits them. إِلَاللَّهِ مَرْجِعُكُمْ. To God you shall all return, and he has power over all things. أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ يَثُونَ صُدُورَهُمْ. See how they cover themselves up to hide their thoughts from him. ألا حين يستغشون ثيابهم يعلم ما يسرون وما يعلنون. This is perhaps a reference to how people would try to sneak around and do sins, trying to, you know, cover themselves so nobody sees them as they're doing something evil. Maybe someone is covering themselves while engaging in some immoral act and they don't want to be recognized by the people doing so. This is a reference to that. But understand, even if you're doing something privately, يَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ. Allah knows what they hide and what they reveal. Because He is, إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. Sudur is the sadr is the chest. Yes? Sudur is the plural of that. That is sudur is what is inside the chest. That's your feelings. That's your thoughts. That's everything that's internal that you don't vocalize, that you don't say. Or do anything that's internal, that's bidat al-sudur. He knows us so intricately well. Our thoughts, our biases, our prejudices, our emotions, everything that we keep inside and we don't express, that He knows all of that. So if He knows all of that, how can He not know the actions you're doing, trying to do them in secrecy? How can He not know what you do in incognito mode, for example, right? He knows all of that. There is no hiding from Him. In fact, Allah's majesty is such, is وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا. Allahu Akbar. There is not a living creature on the earth, but it is for God to provide its sustenance. He knows its dwelling and its final resting place. كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. All is in a clear, all of this is recorded in a clear book. All the living creatures on earth, Allah has said He provides for them. And He says that, and you can see that. You can see that in so many ways. You can see that just by observing nature. You can see that by observing the birds, how they are fed by Allah. And you can see that even in the way the food chain is. You see, you can, any part of Allah's creation you study, right, you will be amazed by how Allah, how the system is set up and how, you know, these animals thrive. And they thrive and they live without us ever, ever being involved in their lives. That is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not just by random chance that this took place against impossible odds, against, you know, like this little ball of water circling around a ball of fire, created the perfect situation for, you know, single cell organisms to become, you know, like this diverse creation. I mean, what is the possibility or probability of that? It's just insane. The more likely, in fact, the correct answer is it is Allah's plan. He's the one who brought it into existence and He's the one who sustains it. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Enthroned above the waters, it was He who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. 6 days here is six periods of time, not 24 hours exactly, because a yawm in Arabic is not exactly, 24 hours. It could be a expression for a period of time. And this is the correct understanding here. Six periods of time. Okay. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. In order to test which of you is the best in conduct. This is the purpose of life. Allah has created everything around us, and He has set it in its place and put us on this earth to see how we are, to be tested. There's good options and there's bad options. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ. He has guided us to both the paths, both the good and evil we can see. Okay, and now it's up to us to make the choice. And the idea is, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Who has the best actions? Not the most actions. You know, somebody who accepts Islam maybe later in life, or somebody maybe they return to Islam after many years of being away. They may not accumulate so many actions as someone who was born and raised in a supremely practicing environment. But the idea is not about the quantity. The idea is about the quality. If the quality is good, then that supersedes everything. أَحْسَنُ is actually, this word ahsan is an allusion to that. It's the quality. How good is the quality of your amal, of your action, not aktharu amalan, the quantity, right? So this is a very beautiful thing the Quran focuses on. The test of life is a test, and Allah is testing us to see how great our quality is. وَلَئِنْ قُلْتَ إِنَّكُمْ مَبْعُوثُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْمَوْتِ If you were to say, you will be raised up after death, those who deny the truth say, إِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا السِّحْرٌ مُبِينٌ This is just sheer sorcery. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now speaks about human beings, how they're fickle. Okay? How human beings, their nature is being fickle. وَلَئِنْ أَخَّرْنَا عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابَ إِلَى أُمَّةٍ مَعْدُودَةٍ لَيَقُولُنَّ مَا يَحْبِسُهُ Okay? Let's look at ayah number 9 is actually a better example. وَلَئِنْ أَذَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنَّا رَحْمَةً When we bestow upon man a measure of our grace. ثُمَّ نَزَعْنَاهَا مِنْهُ إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ Look at this. When we bestow grace on a person and then take it away from him, he becomes in a state of despair and extremely ungrateful. Kafur is extremely ungrateful even to the point of, you know, of disbelief. Because kufr and kafir and kafur are from the same root letters, which means disbelief and also means ungratefulness. It also means to cover up something. So you're covering up the blessings that Allah have given you. You're blinded by it, to them. All of those meanings are there. Ya'us, right, is someone who has given up hope. He's given up hope, right? Mayus is a word that's used in Urdu that's to talk about someone who has no hope, right? This is the idea. La ya'usun kafur. He becomes in a state of complete despair. But look what happened. Allah gave and Allah took. It's not like Allah took more than He gave. He only took back what He gave, essentially, right? So you are still in the, you know, to think about it, like your principle is still there, right? You just lost your gains, but your principle is still there. Yet a person becomes what? So depressed, so despondent, losing hope as if everything has gone wrong. This is the fickle nature of human beings. And then what happens? If Allah tastes after this adversity, let them taste some good fortune. They would say, this person says, ذَهَبَ السَّيِّئَةُ عَنِّي All my ills have gone away. And then after a while, if this principle grows again, the person's like, yes, I have made it in life. I have achieved success. All my four ills, all the things that were hurting me are gone, and I am good. إِنَّهُ لَفَرِحٌ فَخُورٌ He becomes happy. He becomes exultant. This is the nature of human beings. How we deal with loss and how we deal with gain, right? It's so fickle, right? You look across, you look at sports, you look at investments, you look at anything, how people are, when they are afflicted with loss, they become extremely, like they give up hope. They just are in a state of despair and they are ungrateful and bitter, okay? And when they gain, everything is good, everything is happy, and even they become a little boastful about it. Like, you see how we are? So this is the fickle nature of human beings, but the believer supersedes or overcomes this fickleness. That's what a believer is supposed to be. We're not supposed to remain human. We're still, this is our nature. But the believer is able to control these urges. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Not those who are patient and do good deeds. You see that? That is what a believer is supposed to be. You feel the same urges, the same desire to be angry and petty and upset and ungrateful, and the same desire to be, you know, boastful and supremely elated. But the believer is able to control both urges, and they're, you know, steady. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا That's what sabr here is. Sabr here is you're able to control your urges. You're able to keep your emotions in check and not let that affect what you say, not let that affect your mood, not let that affect your work, because your patience, صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Then they do good deeds afterwards. How amazing. That is what Iman is supposed to give. You see, the surah began by talking about what is Iman, right? It is over here, right? You ask for forgiveness and you keep trying to get better. Never lose hope. That is the Iman that believers are supposed to have. And when you have that, you develop patience. You can keep yourself under check and your good deeds never get affected. عَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ Maybe when you are, you know, happier, you can do more, right? Maybe when you're a little sad, your, you know, ability to do is a little less. Fine, a little bit up and down is okay. But overall, your good deeds continue and your patience shines. أولئك لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير. They shall have a forgiveness and a great reward. How amazing. How amazing. May Allah make us of these people. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. You notice one thing here. It's a very subtle Quranic expression. The Quran always says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, right? If you look at Surah number, say 104 or 103 here, Surah Asr, what does it say? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe and do good deeds, right? This is this surah. If you look at another surah that's similar to this, وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ, you will find the same expression, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, except those who believe and do good deeds, right? Here, the expression is what? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Very interesting. Those who are patient and do good deeds. The word iman, right? The word iban, belief, has been substituted by the word patient, as if Allah is equating the two, as if He is equating the two ideas, that if you have iman, that means you are patient. That means you're able to control your emotions. That means you're able to keep the big picture in mind. That means that you're able to continue to do good even when times are tough. That means you never give up hope. SubhanAllah. How amazing is that expression of the Quran? Okay, the Quran challenges people that this is a surah that Allah, this is a revelation from Allah. If they say He has invented it Himself, surah ayah number 13, قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُورٍ مِثْلِهِ. If you're truthful, produce 10 invented chapters like it and call on whom you can besides God to help you. And if they do not respond to you, then know that this Quran is sent down with God's knowledge, and that there is no deity but Him. If you are unable to fulfill the challenge of falsifiability of the Quran, then you should know the Quran is not possible to be imitated, and thus it is God's revelation. This is a very clear thing. The Quran repeats this challenge, multiple times. 5 times this actually challenge is repeated in the Quran to show that this is, how confident we are in this revelation. Not to say that we need this kind of thing to substantiate our iman, but what it's saying is this is a proof of falsifiability to show that this is truly from God Himself and not from a human being. And then if you recognize that, فَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ, will you then surrender yourselves to Him, right? What can stop a person, even after they have recognized Allah and recognized Islam as the truth, what could stop them from embracing it? What could stop a person who was born into Islam and maybe stops them from practicing it? Because, what could be the reason? Ayah number 15 gives us the answer. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا, those who desire the life of this world and its finery. زِينَتَهَا is, zina is something that shines. Something that shines. The shiny stuff of life. The bling of life. They want the pleasures of this world. They want the luxuries of this world. They want all the shine of this world. What does Allah say about them? نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. They will be repaid in full in this life for their deeds. وَهُمْ لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. And وَهُمْ فِيهَا لَا يُبْخَسُونَ. Nothing shall be denied to them, right? Whoever works hard will get whatever they worked hard for in life. They will get their due. نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Repaid in full. But then أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. Those are the people who in the world to come shall have nothing but hellfire. وَحَبِطَ مَا صَنَعُوا فِيهَا. And all that they used to do shall be in vain. وَبَاطِلُ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Whatever they did would not count for anything. Okay, this is an important point. If a person is only, what could stop someone from accepting Islam? It is materialism. It is the desire to be luxurious. It's a desire to enjoy the life of this world and not really care about, a purpose of life. It's just, I'm going to enjoy my life and, do no harm and be a good person, but enjoy my life. That kind of attitude. That could affect a person who is a non-Muslim. It could affect a person who's Muslim. And for both, it could take them away from the truth of Islam. And that is going to, whatever you do in life, you will be paid for it in full, right? Whatever effort you put, you will get your reward from it, right? But there's nothing for you in the Akhirah. Because you never worked for the akhirah. You never prioritized the akhirah. There was nothing that you were preparing for the life afterwards. This is a common question. People say, how come a person who's a good person and he's not a Muslim, you know, they did good, they did some charity, they lived a, you know, upright life. How come this person will not attain salvation in the next life? The answer is, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا النَّارِ. Assuming they never got the message, okay? Excuse me, assuming they got the message, assuming they received the message of Islam, and then they said, no, I don't want it, right? Assuming that's the case, be as they may be a good person. In the life of this world, they will be repaid in full. They will enjoy a good life. People will respect them. People will honor them, right? But they never worked for the next life. So how can they get Jannah in the next life, right? In fact, again, this is assuming that they got the message and rejected the message. That is grounds for them to be in the fire of hell. And that's what the ayah says over here. Okay, ayah number 24 mentions a very beautiful example. Okay, مَثَلُ الْفَرِيقَيْنِ كَالْأَعْمَى وَالْأَصَمِّ وَالْبَصِيرِ وَالسَّمِيعِ هَلْ يَسْتَوِيَانِ مَثَلًا أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ. Two groups are like the blind and the deaf as compared to those who can see and hear. Again, this is not referring to someone who is hard of hearing naturally. It's not talking about a person's, you know, it's not a slight on a person's physical faculties. But if you compare the two objectively, are the two the same? If someone who's unable to see and unable to hear, is this person going to be equally set up for success as someone who can see and who can hear? Right? The answer is obviously no. The first person needs a lot more accommodation, a lot more help, right? The other one is able to help themselves because they have the faculties with them. This is the idea Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. This example He wants us to understand and apply it to those who have iman and those who don't. Okay, those who have iman have a purpose. They're going to they have a clear vision of life. Okay. And those who don't, or who have rejected it, not just like they were never able to get it, but they rejected the concept or too overwhelmed by materialism. That's like a person who's just wandering around, right? And this is the two examples the Quran sets up. And of course, there's lots in the middle. But these are the two that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is setting up to preface the stories of the prophets, right? Because the stories of the prophets fall in this category. It's the prophet versus people who rejected a man who received revelation from God. Okay, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts with Nuh alayhi salam. And we're going to talk about Nuh more today because this is the part of the Quran where this is the largest collection of the story of Nuh, right? The story of Nuh is mentioned in many places. This is where the most details are to be found. Okay, we send Noah to his people at 25. He said, I have come to you with a clear warning. What is the message? Allah ta'abudu illallah. Don't worship anyone but God. I fear for you a punishment of a painful punishment for you. Who rejected this message? The leaders, al-mala, the people who concentrated power and concentrated wealth. They who refused to acknowledge the truth. They said, we regard you as a human being like ourselves. Ayah 27, ma naraka illa bashara. Illa bashara mithlana. We see you as a human being like ourselves. What's so special about you? وَمَا نَرَاكَ تَبَعَكَ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ هُمْ أَرَاذِلُنَا بَادِيَ الرَّأِي. We do not see that anyone who follows you but is the lowliest of us, those of immature judgment. Only fools follow you. Right? You're no different. And the people who follow you are fools. Okay? وَمَا نَرَى لَكُمْ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فَضْلٍ. We see no superior merit in you. In fact, we believe you are a liar, right? You see how it goes from, you know, these kind of statements about how it very quickly escalates, right? It started by saying, we just see you as a human being like ourselves, which is, you know, true. He is a human being, but he is a human being who's receiving revelation. And then it goes to insulting and character assassination. Right, those who follow you are the lowliest and the worst. You are nothing better than us. In fact, you are a liar. You're worse than us. Right? This is a classic trick of people who want to undermine someone. Right? You want to undermine somebody, you start with stating something that's factual, but maybe part of it is you're hiding some other facts, right? And then you start character assassinating, and then you start smearing, and then all that remains in people's minds is your smears. Mm? And that becomes like the narrative. So how tactfully these people positioned themselves here. Nuh alayhi salam, of course, says, you know, if you can't see the grace that Allah has favored me with, right? How can I force you to see it? أَنُلْزِمُكُمُوهَا وَأَنْتُمْ لَهَا كَارِيُونَ. How can we force it on you against your will? Okay? And oh, my people, I am not asking you for money. I am, because my reward is with Allah. I am not going to drive away those who believe, because that is going to be unjust. They will meet their Lord just like you will meet your Lord. And I see that you are people who do this out of ignorance. You are acting ignorantly. Okay? And he says, I don't say to you that I possess God's treasures. وَلَا أَقُولُ لَكُمْ عِنْدِي خَزَائِنُ اللَّهِ. I don't have all of God's wealth and treasures at my disposal. I press a button and then boom, you know, the punishment is unleashed. I don't tell you that I know the unseen. I am not an angel. And this is exactly what all prophets said. Okay? Nor do I say concerning those upon whom you look with contempt that God will not bestow any good upon them. Right? I'm not going to just because you think that they're lowly and, you know, disgusting, I'm not going to say that to them because they're good people, right? And if you think that way of them, if I was to say that to them, inni idha lamina al-zalimin, I would be one of the wrongdoers. Hmm? Now, this is a very nice argument. He completely debunks. He's like, look, I'm not... You want me to be Superman? I'm not Superman. Hmm? You want me to unleash God's fury upon you? I'm not able to do that, okay? You want me to drive away these people that you think are lowly because of whatever reason, because they don't have money, maybe they don't have status? I'm not going to do that. That will be unjust. And you are being unjust if you do that and you judge people this way. What are they going to say to that? They said, Nuh, you have argued with us and argued with us excessively. قَدْ جَهَدَلْتَنَا فَأَكْثَرْتَ جِدَادَنَا. Too much arguments here, Nuh. Okay? فَأْتِنَا بِمَا تَعِدُنَا. Bring upon us what you threaten us with if you speak the truth. Huh? Unleash this punishment. What is this punishment business? Bring it on. Okay? Nuh alayhi salam says, well, I told you I can't do that, right? It is God who will bring it down upon you if he wishes. And when he does bring it, you will not be able to escape. Okay? And when I... was whatever I say to you of advice, ayah number 34, وَلَا يَنْفَعُكُمْ نُصْحِي, will not benefit you. No matter how sincerely I want to advise you, if God lets you go astray. Right? The idea here is this, إِنْ كَانَ اللَّهُ يُرِيدُ أَنْ يُغْوِيَكُمْ. Allah does not want to let people astray who want to come to the straight path. That is a fact. Okay? Whoever wants to come to the straight path, Allah will open the doors for them and make all the means accessible to them to come to Him, the straight path. Remember, that's what the surah began with, right? وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Turn to Him. Whoever wants to turn to Allah, Allah is even more happy and even more ecstatic to accept this person and bring them on towards the truth. But here, the one who wants to go astray, who wants to be, consumed by this life, who wants to be, a proponent of other, faith systems, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let this person go astray. And he's saying, my advice will not help you at this point because he is your Lord. And to him, you all will return. Okay? It's an interesting tangent in the middle of this thing. You see, this talking about Nuh, but ayah 35 is a tangent. The tangent is, if they say he has invented it himself, say to them, if I have invented it myself, then may I be punished for my sin, and I am innocent of the crimes that you commit. It's a little tangent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throws in here for the speaker. Because the speaker here in Makkah is wondering, how on earth does the Prophet know all these details about the life of Nuh? The life of Nuh was not well known to this detail in the circles of Makkah. So this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the middle of the narrative, mentions, hey, think about this. There's no way the Prophet ﷺ had access to this information. If you think that he made it himself up, then the sins are all upon him. Hmm? But the more possibility is that he didn't make it up. And then you are the one who is, committing this overstepping yourselves. Nuh was told, أنه لن يؤمن من قومك إلا من قد آمن. None, no more of your people will believe in you more than those who've already believed. Nuh alayhi salam was told eventually, this is it. No more people will believe in you. فَلَا تَبْتَئِسْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Then do not grieve, therefore, over what they have been doing. Don't be saddened by them. It's okay, Nuh. You did your best. This is, again, like I told you, the surah, right, is don't give up hope. تَبْتَئِسْ إِنَّهُ لَيَأُوسٌ كَفُورٌ. If you remember, the ayah I showed you in the beginning, ayah number, I believe, 8, right? This ayah right here, ayah number 9, excuse me. Ya'us, this word, ya'us, to give up hope, is from the same root as this word, tabta'is. Same exact root of both of these words. Their etymology is the same. Nuh alayhi salam was told, don't give up hope, don't despair. You did your best, Nuh. Now we're going to save you. And how will we save you? وَصْنَعِ الْفُلْكَ بِأَعْيُنِنَا وَوَحْيِنَا. Build the ark under our eyes and in accordance with our revelation. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Do not plead with me concerning the evildoers. They shall certainly be drowned. إِنَّهُمْ مُغْرَقُونَ. This is an important sentence. وَلَا تُخَاطِبْنِي فِي الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا. Keep this one in mind, please. Okay? All right. Nuh alayhi salam is now building the ship or the ark. يَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكُ. And now the people, the mala, right, were like, this is their chance to go to town on him. Whenever the leaders of his people passed by, سَخِرُوا مِنْهُ, they scoffed at him. They're like, look at this guy. He was calling us to worship Allah all these days, and now he's building a ship? What's up with that, right? So you can imagine the kind of things they must have said and the kind of foulness they would have unleashed upon Nuh alayhi salam. So foul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not even mention that in the Quran, okay? Does not even dignify those statements. All he says is they scoffed at him. Nuh alayhi salam now responds to that, okay? In kind. He says, إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُوا مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. If you are scoffing at us, then we shall scoff at your ignorance just as you scoff at us. And you will soon come to know who will receive a humiliating punishment and find unleashed against him an everlasting punishment. Okay? There's only so much of mockery and degrading a person can take. And sometimes you have to give a little bit back for it to stop, right? That harm that these people are doing to you with their words, if you don't say anything after a certain point, you're just going to perpetuate it, right? And sometimes you have to say something to stop it. And this is what Nuh alayhi salam is doing. He said these things, and that is like a way for them to stop because he retorted. And sometimes a retort comes, the bully steps away a little bit, right? Or the abuser steps away a little bit. So this is actually an interesting thing, right? You're not supposed to just lie down and take abuse, you know, ad nauseum, okay? You are at a point supposed to stand up and, you know, kind of like push away those, like say something to put a barrier between you and the abuse, right? That is an important idea that we learn, and especially here from Nuh alayhi salam, okay? But that's not the first thing you should do, right? First thing is you're patient and whatnot, give people more chances, but don't let them just treat you like a doormat, stepping and walking all over you. Hatta idha jaa amruna, ayah number 40, when our command came, wafarat tanur, and water gushed forth in torrents. A tanur is an oven, right? So this was the sign that was given to Nuh. The oven will overflow with water, and the ovens all over the city start to overflow. This was not like a normal flood. This is water coming out of the earth and water raining down from the sky, okay? قُلْ نَحْمِلْ فِيهَا, take into the ark a pair of species. بِنْ كُلِّنْ زَوْجَيْنِ اثْنَيْنِ وَأَهْلَكْ, and your family. إِلَّا مَنْ سَبَقَ عَلَيْهِ الْقَوْلُ وَمَنْ آمَنْ, except those on whom the sentence has already been passed, i.e. those who did not believe in you. O Nuh, they cannot be on this ship, and all the true believers. So all the believers, your family who believes in you, but not the ones who didn't believe in you, and every species, you know, two of them, right? A pair, right? So they can continue to mate afterwards. وَمَا أَمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ, but only a few believed along with him. Now, the Quran doesn't mention actually how many animals were there and whatnot, but it just references that a pair from every species was meant to be taken, but every species that was around, he cannot obviously take species from the part of the world that he's living in that, you know, exists in other parts of the world. That's not obviously possible. Only what's around him, he takes species from there. And it's also a possibility that he only takes species of animals that he needs, like, you know, goats and sheep, cattle, etc., right? You're not going to take snake on the ship and then die of snake bite on the ship. So this is perhaps even a reference to that. Zawjain ithnain, okay? Every pair, and perhaps this is referring to every pair of useful animals, okay? Now, وَقَالَ رَكَبُوا فِيهَا بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا إِنَّ رَبِّي لَغَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Noah said, embark on it in the name of God. It shall set sail and cast anchor. Truly my Lord is forgiving and merciful. This is a beautiful dua. You can underline this dua if you're ever going on a boat or on a canoe or something, right? Make this dua. When I go canoeing, this is what I, when the waves get a little trippy, بِسْمِ اللَّهِ مَجْرِيهَا وَمُرْسَاهَا, right? This is the dua I make as well. So this is a nice dua for that. Inshallah. وَهِيَ تَجْرِي بِهِمْ فِي مَوْجٍ كَالْجِبَالِ. The ark sailed along with them through mountainous waves. The waves were like mountains. Subhanallah. وَنَادَى نُوحٌ ابْنَهُ. And now, this is the person. Noah called out to his son, who stood apart. Oh my son, embark with us and do not be among the deniers. Come on the ship, O son. He said, I shall seek refuge on a mountain, which will save me from the water. Noah cried, today there is no refuge for anyone from God's command, except for those whom he shows mercy. Thereupon a wave swept in between them, and Noah's son was among those who were drowned. وَقِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بِلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقِلِعِي. I want you to actually, before we go to Tzai, imagine the scene for a minute. Noah alayhi salam is calling his son, come, son. And Noah's son is saying, no, I won't come. And then, وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجِ. And as they're talking, a wave separates the two. And then his son drowns. That's a very personal tragedy. And this is what the Quran wants us to appreciate. The prophets of Allah suffered lots of personal tragedies, right? They didn't just live a life of pleasure and it was like a bed of roses. No, they suffered immense personal tragedy. The Prophet ﷺ suffered immense personal tragedy. He lost all of his kids except Fatima. They all died before him. All of his sons died in infancy, right? Personal tragedy, even to the point where when the battle of Badr was won, the Prophet ﷺ finds the Prophet's son-in-law, right? The one who's Abu al-As, who's married to his eldest daughter. He was in a prisoner of war because he was on the opposite side. He wasn't fighting, but he came out with the Qurayshi army to support them, or maybe he was dragged with them to support them. But he was captured as a prisoner of war. And the ransom, this is, look at the tragedy here. Look at the heartbreak. The ransom of Abu al-As, the Prophet's son-in-law, who was not a Muslim at that time, by the way, was the necklace of his daughter. And that necklace of his daughter was given to his daughter by the wife of the Prophet Khadija. That was Khadija's necklace that she gave on her wedding to her daughter, who then gave it as ransom to ransom her husband, her disbeliever husband. And the Prophet saw the necklace of his wife, his deceased beloved wife, in the pile of ransom, and he was so hurt by that. He was so deeply hurt by that because that was his wife's necklace. And look at where it ended up. SubhanAllah. This is the thing, brothers and sisters. The prophets of Allah suffered the most profusely. The Prophet said, "Inna ashadda nasi bala'an al-anbiya." The prophets go through the most difficult trials. And then those who are closest to the prophets in rank and in faith. Okay? This is a very personal tragedy that Nuh alayhi salam suffers. قِيلَ يَا أَرْضُ بِلَعِي مَاءَكِ وَيَا سَمَاءُ أَقْلِعِي. A voice cried out, O earth, swallow up your waters. O sky, seize your rain. The waters receded. The command was fulfilled. وَاسْتَوَتْ عَلَى الْجُودِي. And the ark came to rest on Mount Judi. And it was said, بُعْدًا لِلْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ, away with the wrongdoing people. Now remember Nuh alayhi salam, right? This ayah number 37, Allah had warned him, do not plead me concerning the evildoers. Nuh alayhi salam now asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a question. Ayah number 45, my Lord, my son was a part of my family. Your promise was surely true, and you are the most just of all judges, right? He said, oh Allah, you will save my family. My son was my part of my family, right? He didn't say, why didn't you save my son? That's not what he said. He says, your promise is true, and you're the most just of all judges, right? Even when he's trying to ask a question, you notice the etiquette. He's not saying, hey God, why didn't you save my son? You promised. That's not the way to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's not the way to speak to anybody who you respect, let alone the creator of the universe, okay? So he speaks and asks respectfully, but perhaps here he is kind of forgotten, or he's erred a little bit. So Allah reminds him, قَالَ يَا نُوحُ إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ. Ayah 46, Noah, he was not from one of your family. He wasn't from your family. Even though he was your blood, إِنَّهُ عَمَلٌ غَيْرُ صَالِحٌ. He was unrighteous in his conduct. And that, you know, the bond of faith, he broke the bond of faith. And that's why he was separated from you, O Noah. That's why he was separated. This shows you, right? This is not to belittle the bonds of family. The Quran is very, very clear about we have to keep family ties with our relatives, okay? And the one who cuts off family ties intentionally, abandons family intentionally, that is a person who is a sinning person, right? It's one of the major sins. But here Allah is explaining something that's a bigger, deeper point, which is the bonds of faith are actually stronger than the bonds of family, particularly when it comes to matters of judgment and salvation. Here was like, this was like the day of judgment for these people, right? Like the day of judgment before the actual day of judgment. Their judgment came on that flood day, right? On that day, it doesn't matter your who's your father, who's your mother. And that's the same thing that will happen on the day of judgment. It won't matter who you are related to, right? It doesn't matter at all. The Prophet ﷺ said to, when he was inviting people to Islam, that, Sophia, the aunt of the Prophet, I forgot the name, Allah Mustaan. Oh, aunt of Prophet, believe in the message, because I can't save you on that day. Oh, Fatima, my daughter, believe in me, because I can't do anything on the day of judgment to save you. This is the idea. Here, it's not to belittle the ties of kinship, it's to say, on the day of judgment, the kinship doesn't matter. What only matters is the bonds of faith. Innahu amalun ghayru salih. For indeed he was unrighteous in his conduct. فلا تسألني ما ليس لك به علم. Do not question me about something that you have no knowledge of. I admonish you lest you become an ignorant person. And Nuh alayhi salam immediately asked for forgiveness. قال ربي إني أعوذ بك أن أسألك ما ليس لي به علم. My Lord, I take refuge with you from asking you something of which I have no knowledge. If you do not forgive me and show me mercy, I will be of the losers, right? Again, notice, brothers and sisters, this is what this ayah in the very beginning said, right? You're supposed to seek forgiveness and turn in repentance to Allah. And that is what Nuh alayhi salam is demonstrating. Even though he erred a little bit, immediately he asked for forgiveness. And that's the attitude of the believer. They're quick to ask Allah for forgiveness. They're quick to ask Allah for his grace. They're quick to turn to him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is quick to accept, because as he said in the next ayah, oh Nuh, go ashore in peace. Our blessings are upon you and the people who are with you and upon some of the descendants who are with you. As for the unrighteous, we shall grant them a provision, and a grievous punishment will then afflict them from us. This is from the news of the unseen that we revealed to you, O Prophet, which you did not know before, nor you, nor your people. Right? مَا كُنْتَ تَعْلَمُهَا أَنْتَ وَلَا قَوْمُكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ هَذَا. The Prophet ﷺ did not know this before the ayat were revealed, and the people of Quraysh did not know this when the ayat were being revealed. Allah said, this is what we tell you, this is revelation. What's the point of this? Number one, this is Allah's word, Allah's speech, Allah's revelation. The Prophet ﷺ had no clue of it, no way to get it. This is God's revelation, not the speech of the Prophet ﷺ. And that makes him the messenger of God. Right? But point number two is فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Be patient. The future belongs to the God-fearing. The end, better translation would be, the end belongs to the God-fearing.
right? Don't give up hope. Do not give up hope. Do not despair. Do not do not lose the sight of the big picture. Be patient. Fasbir. Again, look how it's tied back to the beginning, right? The idea in the beginning of إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا صَالِحَاتٍ. Those who are patient and who do good deeds, ayah 11, it's tying it back. Oh Prophet, you be patient. Right now you're suffering. Right now you're struggling. At the end, you'll be a winner. And this is a message for all of us. Doesn't matter what it is that we are struggling with, what we're suffering with. Try your best. صَبَرُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Be patient. Can check your emotions. Don't let them get you too high, too low, too down on life. No, keep it steady. Know Allah's help is near. Know Allah will make things better. And continue to do good deeds. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. And then you know, when you do that, the end, you will be victorious. You will be successful. إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is our theology. This is not some fancy words. This is our theology. فَصْبِرْ إِنَّ الْعَاقِبَةَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Then Allah mentions the story of Hud alayhi salam. And that's where the name of the story comes. وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا. To Aad, we send their brother Hud. Same message. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُ. He said, my people worship God. You have no other deity but him. And whatever you worship besides him are fabrications. Same thing. I'm not asking you for money. I am, you know, my reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Same topic. Oh, my people, seek forgiveness and turn to him in repentance. You see how this ayah is repeating? Istaghfiru rabbakum thumma tubu ilayhi. If you do this, he's going to send you blessings in this world. Abundant rain. He will give you more strength, right? He will give you benefit in this world and he will give you salvation in the next. This is a beautiful thing. Again, this is a mirroring of the beginning ayah that I shared with you here, right? يُمَتِّعْكُمْ مَتَاعًا حَسَنًا. He will give you a generous provision, right? If you seek forgiveness and turn to him. And this is an example of that. Generous provision is, you know, the environment is ripe for you to grow and gain money and live luxuriously and have strength and not be weak. This is a good provision, right? Of course, they did not like what the Hud al-Islam said. They said, you have not brought any evidences and we are not going to believe in you, okay? Nuh alayhi salam, and they say that we actually think that our gods have struck you with evil. Again, you notice how it starts with something semi-factual and turns into full-on character assassination and smears. Okay, and then of course the punishment of Allah came. Ayah 58, when our command came, Najjayna Hudan, we delivered Hud and those who believed with him by our special mercy, and we saved them from a severe punishment. Watilka ad. That was Aad. Jahadu bi ayati rabbihim. They denied the signs of the Lord and disobeyed his messengers. Wa asaw rusulahu. Very interesting expression there. Disobeyed his messengers and followed the bidding of every headstrong enemy of truth, right? Wattaba'u kulla amra kulli jabbarin 'anid. This is an interesting expression as well. Let's talk about the first one. Disobeyed his messengers, even though Aad only saw one messenger, Hud. But rejecting one messenger is equivalent to rejecting all of the messengers. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is equating it to, right? So disobeyed his messengers. And then the bidding of every headstrong enemy of truth. Kulli jabbarin anid. They chose as a people to listen to the loud mouth, the one who had a louder voice, the one who had a bigger platform, and they didn't care about what the content was, whether it's correct or not. They followed that person, and that led them to their demise. Ala bu'dan li'adin qawmi Hud. Indeed, ala inna 'adan kafaru rabbahum. Indeed, 'Ad denied their Lord, rejected their Lord. So away with 'Ad, the people of Hud. Then Allah turns to Thamud. Thamud are the people of Salih, and they were very special because they had a very special miracle. To Thamud, we sent their brother Salih. He said, my people worship God. Same message, right? You have no God but him. It is he who brought you into being from the earth and settled you upon it. So ask his forgiveness. ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ. Turn to him in repentance. You see how such a beautiful, how the ayat are tying together so beautifully. إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. My Lord is near and responsive. Right? He cares for you. قَالُوا يَا صَالِحٌ قَدْ كُنْتَ فِينَا مَرْجُوًا قَبْلَ هَذَا. Salih, we had great hopes in you. You've become this. You become a mullah. You become this person who is practicing the religion and inviting people and doing this work of clergy. What is this? We had great hopes in you, Salih. Atanhana, do you forbid us to worship what our fathers have worshipped? This was our culture. You want to break from our culture? We are in grave doubt, amounting to suspicion concerning to that which you call us about. We're very, very skeptical about what you say. He says, my people, if I have clear evidence from my Lord, and he granted me his mercy, who would support me against God if I was to disobey him? You would only make my loss greater. Okay. Ya qawmi hadhihi naqatullah. My people, this is the she camel of God. You want a sign? Here it is. You wanted a miracle? They said, Salih, produce for us a she camel, a camel that's female, from this rock, right? Something that's completely impossible, from the aspect of the laws of physics, okay? Of the laws of nature. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the miracles of Allah are the ones that are by definition something that goes against what is the norm. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala produced for them this camel from that rock and said, this is a sign for you, and let this camel eat and graze on God's earth. Do not harm her unless you should be instantly destroyed with the punishment. But then they couldn't bear it because this camel was eating the food that they wanted their camels to eat. So they killed the camel. And then Salih said, enjoy yourself for 3 days and then you will see the punishment. فَلَمَّا جَاءَ أَمْرُنَا نَجَّيْنَا صَالِحًا. When our punishment, when our command came, we saved Salih by our grace and those who believed with him from the disgrace on that day. And the ones who were wrongdoers were overtaken by a dreadful blast. وَأَخَذَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ. They lay dead in their homes, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, as if they never lived there. Wiped off completely. Ala inna thamud kafaru rabbahum. Ala bu'dan li thamud. Thamud denied their Lord, cursed and away with the tribe of Thamud. Next, Allah mentions Ibrahim alayhi salam, ayah number 69. Ibrahim alayhi salam is mentioned here not in the context of he goes to a people and the people are destroyed, but his nephew Lut, ayah number 77, is going to be the one whose people are going to be destroyed, right? But Ibrahim alayhi salam actually heard about this before. How so? Some angels came to Ibrahim alayhi salam, and these angels came in the form of humans. Ibrahim alayhi salam hosted them in his house, and he brought them a roasted calf. وَجَاءَ بِعِجْلٍ حَنِيثٍ. This is something interesting. It tells you, you have to be a good host. You have to bring nice things for people to eat who come to your house. Sometimes we serve people and then you're kind of wishing secretly that they don't eat the food you serve them, so there's more for you to eat. Now, Ibrahim Aslam is bringing the best of what he has to offer for his guests, okay? But the guests were not eating. فَلَمَّا رَأَى أَيْدِيَهُمْ لَا تَصِلُ إِلَيْهِ نَكِرَهُمْ. He got afraid because he thought they were assassins. Assassins back in the day, the Assassin's Creed back in the day was to not eat from the food of the person you're about to kill. And Ibrahim al-Islam feared that these were assassins. But then they said, La takhaf inna ursilna ila qawmi Lut. Don't be afraid, we have been sent to the people of Lot. Okay, Ibrahim al-Islam was told, these people, these angels have been sent to the people of Lut. The wife of Ibrahim was there. She laughed, and that's when these angels gave her the news of Isaac. And after Isaac, Yaqub, Jacob, right? She was surprised. She said, how can I have a child? I'm so old. And my husband is so old. هَذَا بَعْدِ شَيْخًا. Right? He's an old man. Shaykh means someone who's old, right? But the angel said, this is the miracle of Allah. أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. It's command of God. رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. Innahu Hamidun Majid. May the mercy of God and blessings be upon you, O people of the house of Ibrahim. He is praiseworthy and glorious. This is what you find in your salawat, in your durood, right? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Right? This is where, this is the parallel that you find between the two. Ibrahim alayhi salam knew something more was up. It's not just about that he's going to have a son. He was afraid for the people of Lot. He started to, you know, plead with the angels to not destroy them, because Ibrahim, that's what he was. He was a tender-hearted person. And this is a quality of a true man, that they're tender-hearted. They are able to control their anger. Halimun, someone who can control their anger. Awahun, tender-hearted, feeling empathy for others. Munibun, often turning to Allah. Right? Usually you find there's two adjectives describing in the Quran. Usually there's two adjectives, like Hamid and Majid, right? But here Allah describes Ibrahim with three adjectives. Very interesting, because he truly deserves. His character was so amazing and stood out so much that two is not enough to describe his character. You need three words, three adjectives. It's like a break from the Quranic style. Usually you find two adjectives everywhere, right? Like you would have, you know, Nadhirun, Wabashirun, Hakimun, Khabirun, right? Now here you have three. Halimun, Awahun, Munibun. Three of them, because that's how outstanding he was. And this is a manly thing, to be tender-hearted, to have empathy, to be someone who is not, someone who is able to control their anger and not unleash. And we learned that from our father Ibrahim. Ibrahim al-Salam was told, this is the matter that Allah has decreed, and there is no way you can negotiate here, because Allah, when Allah decrees a matter, it is a done deal. Then we go to the story of Lut alayhi salam, and the people of Lut. When the messengers came, Lut was very uneasy by what was happening, and he said, this is a dreadful day. The people came, yuhra'una ilayhi, they were running to him, and they were committing foul deeds. They had normalized homosexuality to the point where that was norm. That was the norm, and everything else was looked down upon. And it was public, and it was disgusting. And all those aside, the fact that it was homosexuality, that was the sin that they were indulged in. But they weren't just doing it in their private spaces. They were indulging in it in a very public manner, in a very disgusting manner. Okay. The act itself is not any less, by the way. The act itself is completely prohibited in Islam, and it's completely immoral in Islam, okay? But these people, upon the immorality, they had piled upon layers of other immorality, right? Like they're coming, they see some guests come to the town, they come running to grab them. You see, this is not the behavior of people who are normal. But this is kind of like a glimpse of where sexual deviance can lead a society to. When society absorbs sexual deviancy, hook, line, and sinker, that is the path that they are probably on, or possibly on. Lut alayhi salam tries to negotiate with them. He says, these are my daughters, not his actual daughters, but the women of town, right? Hunna atharu lakum, they are purer for you, right? Marry them and, you know, attain purity, your sexual purity through marriage. Not impurity through adultery, not impurity through homosexuality. Yeah, that's what he's telling them. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُخْزُونِ فِي ضَيْفِ. And don't disgrace me. Have fear of God. Is there not a single right-minded man among you? They said, Lot, we have nothing. We have no need of this. We are, you know what we want. Now, Lot alayhi salam is, you know, in a tight situation. He wishes he had any support, right? He's not giving up hope, but he wants some support. And the angels say, oh, Lut, we are the messengers of your Lord. We're here to support you. You leave with your family, okay? While it is night, and let none of you look back. Leave your wife behind, though. Illa mra'atak. Again, the family, right? The Nuh's son didn't believe. Wife of Lut didn't believe. Lot alayhi salam had to leave her behind. And again, the ties of this is their judgment, right? This is the punishment. This is their judgment. That is when the ties of family cease, and now it's only ties of faith. Innahu musibuha ma asabahum. But your wife will suffer the fate that befalls others. Their appointed time is the morning, and isn't it so close? And when it came, we turned that town upside down and rained upon it stones of clay, layer upon layer, marked for them by the decree of their Lord. Musawwamatan is like a guided rock. Wama hiya min al-zalimina bibaid, and it was not too far away from the punishment was not far away from the unjust. Then Allah mentioned Shu'aib alayhi salam. The story of Shu'aib alayhi salam we covered in quite a bit of detail before. But I like to point out one interesting thing about the story of Shu'aib. This statement, when Shu'aib is telling them, "Hey people, awful kayla wal mikya, awful mikyala wal mizana bil qist, measure, give full measure in weigh, in all fairness, and do not defraud the people." Right? He's telling them, "Hey, don't be frauds, don't be crooks." What does he say? What do the people say? Shu'aib, does your prayer tell you that we should abandon what our forefathers worshipped and that we should stop disposing of our belongings as we believe? Please, you are indeed the only wise and rightly guided man. Look at the sarcasm here, right? Like, you're the only one who's moral. You're the only one who's rightly guided. The rest of us are all misguided, right? That's what your prayer tells you, Shu'aib, right? This is what your deen is teaching you. Why don't you keep your deen to yourself and let us do our business the way we want to do business? Very interesting, it's a very shocking statement, right? And that's how some people still talk when they talk about the religion. They're like, "Hey, you know, like these halal haram rules, like, sure, just keep them like in the masjid. Let's just talk about the rituals. Let the people who want to do business, let them do business." Of course, the people of Shu'aib suffered a similar punishment. Ayah number 94, when our command came, we saved Shu'aib and those who believe with him as a mercy from ourselves. And while the blast overtook, وَأَخَذَتِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا الصَّيْحَةُ, the blast overtook the wrongdoers, فَأَصْبَحُوا فِي دِيَارِهِمْ جَاثِمِينَ, they lay dead in their homes, كَأَلَّمْ يَغْنَوْ فِيهَا, as if they never lived there ever. Away with the people, أَلَا بُعْدًا لِمَدْيَنْ كَمَا بَعِدَ ثَمُودَ, away with the people of Midian, like the people of Thamud. Musa alayhi salam is mentioned very briefly here. Ila Fir'aun, he was sent to the Pharaoh and his nobles, but they followed the command of the Pharaoh, right? Very interesting. It's not like they chose to follow the Pharaoh. This is an interesting thing because people, if they follow their unjust leader, that does not give them the right to say, "Hey, we were just ignorant." Right? Because the Quran says, يَقُدُمُ قَوْمَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأَوْرَدَهُمُ النَّارِ, he shall stand at the head of his people in the day of resurrection and shall lead them into the fire of hell. Okay? Because they followed him in the world. They're going to follow him in the next world as well. This is the Surah Hud. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the story of the earlier towns, the people that lived before. Some of them are still standing while others have ceased to exist, wiped off the face of the earth. It wasn't because Allah wronged them or wanted to hurt them or something. But walakin zalamu anfusahum, they wronged themselves. They chose to follow this leader. They chose to follow the Pharaoh. They chose to reject the messenger. They chose to hamstrung the camel. They chose, right? And supported those who made that choice. If it was a few people who did it, they supported the choice of those people. They didn't go and follow the messenger. فَمَا أَغْنَتْ عَنْهُمْ آلِهَا, the deities they called on besides God availed them nothing, and God's command came upon them and only added to their ruin. Okay, a very stark sign from the day of judgment. The day of judgment, when it comes, when it arrives, no soul shall speak but by his leave. Among those, some shall be damned and others will be blessed. As for those who are wretched, they will be in the fire, sighing and groaning, as long as Allah, forever as long as the heavens and the earth endure. Except as your Lord wills, your Lord carries out whatever He wills. But as for those who are blessed, su'idu, they were made happy. Their iman was the cause of their happiness. They are going to be in the garden, dwelling in it for therein forever, as long as the heavens and earth should endure, except what your Lord wills. Such bounty shall be unending. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this surah with some beautiful advice for the Prophet ﷺ. And we'll tie this together with the beginning and end with that quickly. Fastaqim, number one, stand firm. Okay, be strong on your faith. Right, this is the idea about faith. It's, you know, Allah ta'budu illallah inni lakum nadhirun wa bashir. In the beginning, we are worshiping Allah alone. When you said the shahada, now be firm. Be firm on it. Don't waver. Okay, innahu bima ta'maluna basir. He do not exceed bounds. Excuse me. Wala tatghaw. He sees everything that you do. Don't indulge in haram. Right. That's the first part here. Number one and number two. Let's make them number one. Number two. Number three. Wala tarkanu ila alladhina zalamu fatamassakumun nar. Don't incline towards those who do wrong, lest the fire touches you. Meaning, don't side with the oppressor. Don't side with the oppressor, because on the day of judgment, there will be no one who will help you. Number four, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ طَرَفَيِ النَّهَرِ. Establish the prayers. Right? It says, say the prayers. The better word is establish it. Make it like the most important part of your day. طَرَفَيِ النَّهَرِ وَزُلَفًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ. On the, you know, morning and evening and at night, the five prayers. Okay? This is the thing you should do, because إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Good deeds, they wipe away the evil, make amends for the evil. That is a reminder for those who pay heed. A man came to the Prophet and said, O Prophet of Allah, I kissed a woman and I did everything with her that you would do, that a man would do with a woman, except intercourse. Okay? Is there any forgiveness for me? The Prophet didn't say anything. They prayed the next prayer that was prayed in the masjid. The man asked the same question after the prayer. The Prophet said, didn't you just pray with us? And that is your forgiveness, because Allah says, the good deeds make amends for the evil. They wipe away the evil, right? So stay away from haram. That was mentioned here, right? وَلَا تَطَغَوْا. Do not exceed the bounds. But if you do exceed them, make up for that by tawbah and by prayer, by saying astaghfirullah and by good deeds. And number five, be steadfast. Be steadfast, for surely God does not let the wages of the righteous go to waste. He will not let the reward of those who are doing good go to waste. Okay, this is Surah Hud, and it concludes with a very beautiful statement about Allah's power. The knowledge of the secret of the heavens and the earth belongs to God alone, and to Him all affairs shall be referred to. So worship Him. فَعَبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ, and put your trust in Him alone, because He is the one who is in control. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. Your Lord is not unaware of what you do. This is the Surah Hud. Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, we will cover in its entirety tomorrow, because that surah is too beautiful for it to be split up over 2 days. I'm sorry to say, you can't split up Surah Yusuf over 2 days. We're going to talk about it in one day. And we're going to talk about it in a very nice way, because that is one of the most amazing stories of the Quran. One of the most, like the peak of eloquence we will find in Surah Yusuf, inshallah, tomorrow. Same time, same place. Jazakumullah khairan. Wa sallallahu nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.